Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 21, The Debacle 2.
This isn't 21, is it?
It is 20. Well, it's 20.5.
Why wasn't I on The Debacle 1?
You were.
You are The Debacle 1.
It was referred to as The Incident.
Yeah, The Debacle, The Incident. It was you, buddy.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
The train wreck.
Yeah, we've got kind of a, not necessarily a mini episode today, but we've got a, kind of a special sort of deal that we're going to be doing today. We've got two things we're going to be hitting. We're going to be doing a quick wrap-up of the Walking Dead season, which I fucking barely finished last night, like just in time, because I had zero interest in this season when we watched that first episode. But I also didn't watch any of American Horror Story at all either, so I'm...
You didn't miss a whole lot with that season.
I'm double idiot. When
yeah, that shit sucks.
Carlos called that one. It was. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Maybe he was right the whole time.
It wasn't bad. It was just a little lighthearted.
A little too lighthearted, maybe?
Very too lighthearted.
Well, hopefully with the next one, since they're doing Sideshow Freaks.
Circus. Yeah,
that'll pick up a little bit.
They've actually said that they're going to go back to the extreme terror that they had in season two, which means I'll love it, and most people will puss out.
As long as there isn't like prolonged and multiple rape scenes, I'm totally in.
But if it was baby rape,
oh, here
I was
we go.
Thinking it. You said it.
Okay, that's enough. And cut on the baby rape, please. But we're also going to be having the fine folks at Dock Street Brewing Company sent us over. For the finale of Walking Dead, they brewed a finale beer, if you will, and it's called Walker. And the official title is Malt Beverage Brewed with Roasted Goat Brains and Cranberries. In fact, if you're looking at the camera, it's right there.
That was such a cool effect that you
just... I know. Did you like that? It looked like a ding.
It's an American Pale Stout, 7.2% from Dock Street Brewing in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Yeah, they were awesome enough to send us out a couple bottles. I emailed them a couple weeks ago, right before the season finale
ended,
and they sent it over to us real quick. And we should have got this out a little bit earlier, but you know, schedules being what they are. So anywho, we're gonna do a sort of live taste test. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Jorge as always.
And this is Matt Smith.
Project.
I'm projecting. It's always the segue into my name is always just so lackluster. It's like, oh, this is Jorge. Oh, I guess I'm Matt, as always.
And back for a third time.
Even though we said we would never have him on the show again.
Mr. MMA himself.
Carlos Warm Babies Bielma.
That's how you introduced him last time.
That definitely needs to be your fighting name.
Is that allowed?
Your butt.
People punch each other's in the face for a living.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, punching each other in their face.
The executioner is a thing.
Your butt patch should just be a baby swaddled in a blanket, just with radiant warmth coming off of it.
Wait, were you? We actually went to some epic fighting thing a couple weeks ago. Were you at that event?
No.
Well, never mind. Fuck that story.
Fuck epic.
Cool story, dude.
Oh, fuck Epic. Okay.
I don't know.
He's on record.
No, Epic.
Wait, not Epic Brewing, all
right? I like Epic Brewing.
But yeah, so we're going to crack open these guys. We've got a fourth guest, but she's off camera and is going to be enjoying the beer with us.
You might hear a few giggles from her, but
yeah. She is a Gonzalez, so it is giggle fits.
And she designed our super fucking sweet logo.
Oh, yes. You're the one?
Yes.
That's just fucking awesome.
You're the one?
That's so cool.
That's Amanda Hodges, everybody. Say hi.
Hi.
Yay.
Can you make one for me? Ah. It's not a thing yet.
So let's drink some beer because it's fucking hot in here.
It's warm. Yeah, once we get these.
Give me brain, yeah, George.
All right. Let's get to it.
It's hot in here. Let's get drunk and get even more.
Dame cabeza.
Okay. Aquí.
Give me head?
Yes. Oh, Jesus. So George is pouring the beer, and it's actually got this brownish color. It looked like it was going to be
You said it's an IPA or
something? No, it's an American Pale Stout. It looked a lot more cranberry, and if you hold it up to the light, it's really cranberry.
Yeah, they were saying that it had a kind of red tinge to it. I don't really see that.
Thank you, sir.
Unless we're supposed to hold it up to the light.
Well, it doesn't smell like brain.
So well, it doesn't look brown, that's for sure. It looks like it has that red hue.
Short one bottle.
Is mine supposed to have hair in it?
Those are
part of the goat.
Those are neurons.
Hand that over.
Fuck it.
That's the prize, dude. That means you won.
You won the prize.
It's like those.
Is it a long one?
Nah, it's like short. That's not mine.
That's either my wife or my baby.
Or it's some.
How did that shit get in?
Or it's somebody at Dock Street Brewing.
Wait,
it's the goat.
Oh,
I'm gonna frame them. I'm gonna murder somebody and put this in my car.
You got the hair from the goatsy.
I did. It's like one of those Mexican breads where you have to find the little baby in it.
Oh, the Three Kings breads. That's like a sadistic thing right there, baking babies into bread.
Well, you're baking Jesus into the bread more so.
Oh yeah, it's supposed to be Jesus, huh?
Yeah.
I'm all in favor of that.
Okay, so how do we smell? It's a little bit.
I smell a little bit of like a sour, like a citrusy.
It's a little bit sour, a little bit gamey.
Yeah, a little tart.
Which is kind of weird because I figure with roasted goat brains, it would be kind of smoky.
It's smoked. You can't roast goat brains.
It says roasted right there.
Roasted.
On the bottle.
Can you roast
goat brains.
I think they lied.
No, like you can
why can't
see.
Why can't you roast them?
The display picture, or not the display pictures,
how
but
do
the
you
promo
roast
pictures,
brain?
It had them on a
like
giant
a pizza
platter.
Oven,
yeah,
right?
Like a pizza oven.
Yeah.
Like a fucking oven, dude.
Huh. So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it was smoked.
I think you're smoked.
But no, you smoke brains the same way you put them inside.
Maybe you smoke brains.
Maybe.
All right. Okay, well.
It's beer 30.
Cheers.
Salud.
Hermanos.
Thank you, Dock Street Brewing.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers over there.
Well, we shouldn't thank you yet, I guess. It's not bad.
It's not bad. Oh, wait.
You can, the after.
There's something in there.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't feel anything.
Project.
What? Project what?
There's
something.
A bit of an aftertaste there.
I'm not getting it.
You get the tart at the beginning.
I'm not saying it tastes like brains. I'm just saying
there's a smokiness.
Back there.
There's not a roastiness. There's a smokiness at the end.
It's not shy of a sour. It almost wants to be.
It has the beginning. Is just tart. You could taste the cranberry, and then the aftertaste is when the smokiness starts to settle in.
I like the color. I do like the color.
The color's beautiful.
I like this.
I could definitely use more slime in mine, like, you know, that little liquid that's between the brain and the
spinal, I think they should
spinal
use,
fluid.
Yeah, I could,
sheep
I,
brain.
I could use a little bit of that in here, but
slurm.
I think they should use fucking human brain, really.
You know,
that would have been the best.
Should have. Maybe next time. Maybe when... Maybe if The Walking Dead actually gets good, they'll do.
Oh shit! We'll talk about
that.
Okay. You know, it's unremarkable. It's good, but there's, you know.
It's. I mean.
I don't know what I expected. I don't know if I expected to taste brains. Like I don't know. But it's a good beer.
Yeah, it's not a bad beer.
It's,
I mean,
it's really light for being 7%.
It is, and for being as dark as it is, I mean, I figured it was gonna pack a little more of a punch, but it's. It's definitely a beer you could drink on a hot ass day.
Yeah,
so that's pretty good. You can't drink a whole lot of stouts.
Yeah,
on
we're
hot
getting
days.
Into the days where definitely. Podcasting is going to be very fucking difficult.
Where we're going to be drinking Corona nonstop.
Yeah, dude, we might have to go like outdoors to record from now on.
But I don't like it outdoors. There's sunlight and people.
There's the sun out there. Yeah, I mean, I'd say
it's a buy.
Yeah,
I'm glad I had it. I don't know that I would buy it again. I mean, if I was at a bar and it was on tap, I would probably try it on tap or on cask or something. But if I was just out and I saw it,
actually pretty refreshing.
Unless it was a novelty kind of thing where it's like, hey, try this brain beer.
I think you just hate everything Walking Dead.
That's not true. I like the Telltale game. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played the second season yet, but first season's actually free on Android.
It's actually really refreshing considering there's dead Shit.
Well, aren't like the hops dead anyways when they get cut? So doesn't every beer have dead shit in it?
No, but like this is like,
yes, that's true. It also has tons of yeast shit in it too. So.
Oh yeah. Well, so do you.
How did they get the, like, how do they acquire the goat brains and how do they find out that it's safe for human consumption?
Dude, I ordered goat brains at the Mexican
dude, we're
shop
like,
right by my house.
We're literally like 20 minutes from TJ where people get their heads cut.
Oh, you mean how did Philadelphia get
yeah,
brains?
How did Philadelphia get the idea to let's put brain
there,
in
right?
here and see
well,
what like,
I mean,
are there any like laws that prohibit brains in beer?
No, I doubt it, because you can
so.
Sell them. I mean,
if you can consume it as like a food, I don't think that. In fact, it's sterilized at this point. It's completely sterile, because what they do is, from what I understand, they put it in pre-boil. So they roasted the brain, and then
I'm still sticking to. I think they smoked it.
Either way,
wish I smoked it.
They cooked it in a manner, and they put it in the boil. So it's completely sterile. So even if it had some sort of microbes in it, they're dead. They're completely dead. So,
well, I think it's delicious.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's not my favorite in the world, but
I'm definitely stoked on it.
And I wouldn't drink it every day. It's a little bit heavy. It's a little bit like it's got a very heavy mouthfeel.
You know,
it's perfect for a quinceañera.
Let's the rest of that's in here, let's let that warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
See how it
Totes.
See how it tastes when it's warm.
We'll do
Carlos Warm Babies Bielma. We'll try that when it's warm.
Jesus.
Carlos Warm Beer Bielma.
Bielna?
Bielna.
All right, well, solid 7. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's a little generous. I'd go 6, but...
Okay.
Whatever.
I'd give it a 6.5. I'll be the...
Oh, there you go. 6. Average 5. Score of 6.5.
Average score of 6.5. Great. Yay.
Good. Moving on.
Thank you, Dock Street Brewing, again.
Moving on to something that was more disappointing than this beer. Not
and
that
this
beer
was
disappointing.
No, yeah.
Still. But
correct, sir.
No, it was more disappointing than the beer. The beer was just not that disappointing.
You shit on everything.
It's what I do, man.
Well, it's funny. I talked about this a few episodes ago, but when one of my buddies... one of my buddies started listening to the show, and I think he listened to, I forget, it was 4 or 5 episodes ago, and he goes, why is he so negative about everything? And I go, who, Matt? And he goes, yeah, like, what's his fucking problem? Does he hate everything? And I'm like,
I do.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah,
but it's okay. We all do. We all hate everything.
Yeah, it kind of is true.
We all need a bit of cynicism. I just got other people's bits.
Yeah, collectively we have like...
In my mouth.
Well, you do have a person screaming or yelling on your forearm tattooed there.
That's
so.
Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, dude.
It sure is.
I would not bang.
What?
You would not bang?
Get
not,
out.
No, not based on what's on your arm.
You've never seen Psycho?
Yeah, I love Psycho.
Yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis's mom from Psycho.
Well, I would not bang her still.
It's a lot funnier to say Jamie Lee Curtis's mom than Janet Leigh. Because most people are like, Janet Leigh, who's that? And if you say Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, they just think you're a fucking weirdo anyways, so...
I didn't know that.
Definitely
that was her
would
mom.
Bang.
Yeah,
definitely would.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, would bang Mrs. Bates in the Bates Motel.
Oh, more so.
Yeah, but you also
oh
want to bang.
Oh my gosh,
Vera.
Well, what's
12-year-old?
I would
totally bang Beth too.
For me,
Vera Farmiga.
Dude, she's incredible.
She is. And then her, you know, Talisa Farmiga, the one from American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. I thought that was her daughter. That's her sister. They're like 21 years apart.
We talked about this. I thought we established that it was her sister.
News to me. I just found out like 2 weeks ago. And
she's
I was
the
like,
one
oh,
with
shit.
Down syndrome?
No, she's she's not Pepper, all right? I mean, Jesus Nan. Christ. No, she's the one that you were like, yeah, definitely wouldn't bang on the last episode you were on.
Oh, God. Here we go.
No, he said, I absolutely have a problem masturbating to her.
I thought she was a little... youngish.
Well, she I think was 18 when that was filmed, but she's supposed to be like 15 or 16 in the shows.
Good.
So,
yeah.
Those of you that caught the incident, as we lovingly refer to it, that was episode. Yeah, that was episode 11 where we had Carlos and my wife Alia on, and we talked about the premieres of Walking Dead season 4 and American Horror Story season 3, and we had mixed reviews about. Really, you're gonna give me a Calico and not a Sculpin?
We're gonna start
with not good Ballast Point beer and work our way.
You don't like the Calico?
It's better than the Pale Ale, I guess.
I'm going in order of goodness.
Sculpin is the ultimate goodness.
Right. We want to end with the best.
Sorry, George is trying to cheat me out of
good
beer.
Do you not
want to
drink beer? Is that what you're doing?
Usually, he's the one that gets sidetracked, and you. Thank you, sir.
So, we had we had that episode. We all had kind of mixed opinions on the Walking Dead premiere, and that was way back in October. And that's one of the nice things about Walking Dead is they do the season split. But that's also one of the kind of irritating things.
Well, it's the same thing with Game of Thrones, man. Like,
But that's a full season altogether.
I'm not a fan of. Yeah,
don't
you're
say
right.
you're
well,
not
they
a
did
fan
that,
of
they
Game
did
of
that
Thrones
with
break this new beer
no,
over your
no.
head.
They did that with Breaking Bad for the last season.
I doubt anybody else is like, oh, I'm a big, huge fan of it. But I hate the mid-season break. I fucking hate it with a passion.
For The Walking Dead, I don't mind so much because it's not a show that I get really invested in. Like Carlos mentioned Breaking Bad, and that's completely different because that was a load of bullshit. They did a half season and waited over an entire year to do the other half of the season. Over an entire year because it originally came out in like June or something, and then the final half of the season came out at the beginning of August, which is bullshit because if you wait a whole year, that's another season.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, I think it ends in like November, December, and then it comes back in February. So that's kind of nice that around the holidays where you're not going to get to watch anything anyways because everything is preempted for the same stupid Christmas shit you've seen 1,000 times, it's nice to like say, okay, hey, at least I know February comes around and I got Walking Dead to hold me over until Game of Thrones comes back.
I just wish they would have made Walking Dead last a little bit longer so that way the season finale was on Easter Sunday. So that way no one has to
So they could have put Jesus in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus is at Terminus. He's been dead for 3 days.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll
Jesus
get to,
was on the barbecue.
He was the one drinking the baby milk.
We'll get to where we're talking. Okay, so yeah, continue. Sorry.
Actually, I was gonna say, did you guys hear that they're doing a companion show for The Walking Dead?
No.
It's a second show that has nothing to do with the current cast. It's in a completely different location at the same time.
Okay, I'm in.
I mean, I'm
at this point, they're just milking it.
Exactly. That, but I'm hoping it'll be better because I've had it up to here with the shit that these people.
Well, it'll be nice to have something that's not loosely based on the comic. You'll have people, because in this season or in this series, there's people that love the comics that absolutely are hating the show because it's not following. It's very loosely following the comics.
But I don't think that that's. At this point anymore, that's not a good criticism.
It is to an extent, because the other day I was telling Alia, I really hope Rick fucking dies. Like, I'm just sick of Rick. And she's like, he can't. He's the main character in the comic. Like, Rick is going to be in the show until the show is done. I mean, he may die in the last two episodes or something, but I really don't see Rick kicking the bucket before the show kicks the bucket.
I mean, I don't know. With what they did this season... And we'll start talking about it shortly. I don't necessarily think that Rick's safe.
I don't think Rick's going anywhere, honestly. I mean,
he's not.
you can't. I mean, they introduced other characters like Daryl. Daryl wasn't in the comic books, and Daryl technically is expendable, not in the sense because fans...
I disagree.
Well, no, because fans absolutely adore him. That's what I'm saying. For the longevity of the show, you can't get rid of him. But in terms of storyline... Daryl's a completely expendable character.
That's not true because they cater this storyline around the current characters that they have in the show.
I disagree. I think that Rick is much more expendable than Daryl.
Really? I don't see how Daryl...
If we're talking fans and the show. Because at this point, I'm so sick of goddamn Rick's bullshit I want him to be over.
Wayne, just because you're sick of it doesn't mean that he's expendable. It just means that he's doing his job in some way. And getting you interested in that show. You're watching so he can die.
See, and I'm sick of Daryl's shit too, but to me, this seems like the Rick show. That's why a lot of people were so up in arms because Rick was only in like 3 episodes of the second half, and one of them was for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So Rick is going to step forward and be a much more predominant character next season.
Well, he's showing his leadership, especially at the last line of the last.
Yeah, because he showed his leadership really fucking good at the prison, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, let's kind of go back to the beginning of the season. When we last talked about Walking Dead on the show, they had established themselves pretty well in the prison, and were going on scouting missions, right? And that's where they get to that grocery store or whatever, the chopper.
With the chopper.
Which was a great scene. I thought it was great.
Aside from all the plot holes, like, how would a fucking helicopter crash into the roof of a grocery store?
How do you know it crashed? How do you know it didn't just tip over?
How would it just tip over? It had, like, the roof dented in. Like, if it just got drunk and fell over.
I could see in a place
like a Costco where the roofs are kind of reinforced, where a helicopter might be able to crash into the top of it. Maybe. Because, honestly, helicopters aren't that heavy when we're talking about big, giant things that fly.
Right.
Compared to a
737.
Right. I think that it's not beyond the realm of reasonability.
I don't know. But
regardless. So
right. If I go into every facepalm I had over the season, this is going to be like a 6-hour fucking show.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that's not going to happen.
For real. Once that sort of gets, and we get a new character. What's the black dude's name?
Oh, the stupid fucking drunk. Bob the drunk.
Bob the drunk. Yeah.
Didn't he at one point say his name was Stinky? Like, where they do the flashback to where Daryl and Glenn.
Stinky the drunk?
Yeah, where Daryl and Glenn found him on the road. He's like, they're like, what's your name? He's like, Bob. Stinky.
What's up with him being in two different groups and him being the only one that's alive?
Right? Like, and he made a comment to, what's her tush? Sasha, that the way, or he was happy that when he left the group, he had somebody else with him. He wasn't by himself.
Right.
He said, because the last two times he wound up by himself. I don't know if that's because he went off on booze scounging missions and the camp got raided and he walked back and everybody's dead.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, I think Bob is the first character dead in the next season.
Really?
I think they're going to kill him off first episode.
They've been building him up quite a bit. I don't know.
How deep, though? Like, they're just saying he's an alcoholic that has problems. Like, really, that's the only thing that they've.
Well,
they've
I think more. I think more so that he's been sort of. At least with well, and I think
he,
we're getting,
considering
we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Looking at the characters right now, he is the most expendable of the bunch.
He is. I mean, I think Sasha's pretty expendable because she doesn't really do anything, but she's. See,
but
if
see,
you ask
here's
me,
a, here's the thing, man. When we talk about expendable versus non-expendable characters, I'm hoping...
In my world, everybody's expendable.
I'm hoping that with the tone that this season sort of has set, that everybody's expendable.
So right. People are going to die. Like, some of the main characters are going to die
in this season, for sure.
I'm really
disappointed. Need to shake
shit up. Well, okay, see, I was going to say...
Well, first, we should talk about the finale and then go into what we think in the future.
Wait,
which
finale?
Let's kind of go...
The one that's freshest in our minds.
Let's do a kind of quick overarching plot line of what happened in the show, and then we can talk about the finale.
Oh, okay,
and
recap. The whole
so
season.
Essentially, yeah. they establish themselves at the prison.
Right.
They start farming. They start raising pigs. They capture wild horses.
They settle in for the long haul.
They settle in for the long haul, and that's basically what, you know, we've come to hope, is that they're finally going to be able to settle into the prison.
Yeah, that's what we've been hoping, because that's absolutely amazing television.
Well, I mean,
hey,
as far as
playing fucking Farmville.
What I'm saying, as far as if we were in that situation, I would say that we, you know,
that's what I would want. But as somebody outside watch, like, I really hope that new season just follows a fucking clan of badasses, like the people that raid the other people's villages and just slay people. Like, that would be awesome because
you see
all the good guys who are fighting.
You want
good,
the Genghis,
like,
Khan of the post-apocalypse?
I want the zombie world. I want the governor. I mean, we're led to believe the governor isn't coming back. But I would love to see the governor just slaying people, just traveling around in his... Well, I know he's
dead.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
I mean, like, they had an episode that was strictly governor. Or
at
maybe
this
even
point,
two.
can we
yeah,
go completely
true.
Spoilers? Because who gives a shit, right?
Who gives a shit?
If you're listening to an or this podcast, knowing that it's about the season finale,
yeah,
you've watched the season.
Okay.
And if not, then shame on you.
So,
how dare you?
Yeah, so they get established in the prison, and everything seems to be going very well, and then they get
the swine flu
or whatever it has, and H1N1. people are straight up dying left and right. They go on scouting missions to get antibiotics, and we find out that the governor is still around and whatever.
Right. And that's, I mean, the governor being around kind of leads me into one of my issues with The Walking Dead from the beginning, is that it takes them so long to tie up loose ends. And I'm glad that they had the governor, But this entire fucking season, nothing really happened. I mean, there was cool stuff that happened in every episode, but after the half season mark, it's like Lord of the Rings, where it's just like, hey, let's walk and walk and walk and walk, and like, oh, we took a wrong turn, and now our whole group is back together, and we're basically right where we left off.
Well, and that's unfortunately the Walking Dead's formula.
MO, yeah.
Is like, where, you know, the main characters will get lost, or they'll get together, a conflict will happen, they'll get separated, they get back together miraculously, and then it cycles over and over again.
Aside from Beth, every single person that was, you know, a face in the prison is back in the same
Lizzie's
spot.
Dead.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, let's talk about
a little
fucking,
psycho bitch.
Fucking Lizzie.
I think she is the one that harvested these goat brains with the beer. She seems that sadistic.
Yeah, no, Lizzie, that was actually one of the more...
She had no problems killing animals.
Yeah, that was
kind
of
one of the more fascinating
plot
lines of the series.
So, yeah, she was... I mean, it started off innocent enough where Carol was trying to teach the kids to defend themselves. And she was...
Which was good. I mean, everyone...
Of course.
In that should know.
And the kids had made comments at points where it's like, what's the point of us running and hiding? You know, we should stay and fight. We're in this... together, you know, we should at least serve a purpose. But this girl displays early on that she's a couple ants short of a picnic.
Yeah, she's got a really weird attitude about the walkers from the get-go.
She thinks they're all still alive. And I mean, we've seen that happen on the farm, you know, with all the people they had, and yeah, with Herschel they had in the barn. And but
she was even more fanatical about it, because Herschel's deal was that
they could come back.
That they could come back, and that they were, you know, they still had, you know, some semblance of humanity. But her bit was that it was almost a transformation to like a higher plane kind of deal.
And Herschel didn't try to play with them.
Yeah. Herschel didn't feed them and name them. And
she did.
He did feed them. He fed them chickens.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey, bro, remember he broke the legs?
Yeah.
And send them on down.
She was taking mice. And how the hell does she get all these mice? Like, that's what I want to know, because she just has mice.
Just a mice catcher.
For days.
She's just real good at it.
Like, she's apparently part cat and part psycho or something, because she just has boxes full of mice that she's feeding to walkers. Even when the prison gets, like, obliterated and they're out on the road.
How the fuck does she get out there unsupervised at night? Like, isn't there someone standing watch?
There should be, if there's not, because that's how you get fucking swine flu inside.
You want to get swine flu? Because that's how you get swine flu.
It's probably her fault for keeping those rats.
Call Kenny Rogers, because you're in the danger zone.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that with her character in particular that you were like, wow, how does she get away with, you know, what she's doing? Because it's, you know, you find out later on that she's actually the one that's been feeding the rats even at the prison.
Well, and she's been mutilating the rats too. It looked like some weird biology experiment down in the basement where she had them all pinned open.
I don't know that that was necessarily an experiment or if she was just baiting walkers.
Well, no, because that was downstairs.
Well, there were no walkers inside the prison.
And
at that
there was a reference later in one of the big episodes towards the second half where Tyrese was talking to Carol about little psycho girl and was saying, I asked her if she was the one feeding the walkers. She said she was. I asked her if she was the one that was like mutilating the rats, and she said she was just having fun. It's like your idea of having fun is to slay and torture and mutilate.
Well, rats, I mean, you know, something's, I mean, the typical sociopaths, they're always missing something, like, and a lot of the kids that kill and torture animals are the ones that end up killing people later in life.
Right.
And well, which is exactly what
it's
happened.
It's the triangle, right? Where it's they're cruel to animals, bedwetters, and what's the other? There's three that, like, if you hit those three, you're basically a sociopath. I forget what it is. Yeah. And I could be completely wrong. I'm sorry, psychology
majors. I don't know what bedwetting has to do.
It's just it's like a mental nervous thing. Like, I don't know specifically, but I feel like it's,
you know what's awesome is, since he doesn't listen to the show, my brother wet the bed till he was 12 years old. That'll teach him to not listen to my show.
That'll teach him to ever listen to our show again. So yeah, and Lizzie,
you gotta have your brother on now.
Lizzie ends up Now I gotta ask you, did you guys, because from the get-go, the look at the flowers thing was sort of
Old Yellerish.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of yeah. But that I had on Reddit been seeing, you know, look at the flowers fucking everywhere. So it was already, I already had sort of pre notions as to what was going to happen. I, however, did not see her killing her own sister.
Didn't see that coming.
That
I didn't see that
was fucking crazy.
See, and I want to go on record right now is saying, as much as I may poo-poo on this season, I really do think this was probably the best season of Walking Dead that we've seen.
The best one since season one. Season right. one is still the milestone.
Yeah, season
and
one.
That one was just incredibly was short, bonkers. Unfortunately. Yeah. But, and as I was re-watching it, I developed a newer appreciation for it. And there was cool stuff that happened in almost every episode. And that's not what Walking Dead lacks, is cool stuff in an episode. It's driving a storyline.
The story.
Yeah. You know? Well, they definitely strung together the more compelling action sequences with less boring drama bits. Because that's
right.
that's where season two?
Season two,
when they were at the farm, was like,
That's because they were mostly trying to get the characters more established. And now that they have the characters established, they
the problem is that what they would do is that they would spend so much goddamn time establishing a character and then kill her, like with Lori. Like, we spent so much goddamn time with Lori, and
we didn't even get to see her run over by a fucking tank,
that which would have been incredible, because
like while she was holding Judith,
I would have liked to see her actually die. I would have loved to actually see that.
Because she just pissed me off. Like, I was glad that I got to see the little psycho girl die because she was irritating. And Lori was super irritating. So you want to see that person die.
I thought it would have been pretty awesome to keep Lizzie in until Terminus. Until maybe like the first season of the next, or the first episode of the next season.
But then do what with her?
Fucking, I don't know.
I'm not the Terminus folks. I'm not the fucking writer. She seems like killing them.
Before we get too far into Terminus, so the mid-season break...
Yeah, where was that? I watched when the governor died.
The mid-season break was the episode where Herschel dies and the governor dies, and that was the split.
No, that was the first episode.
You're right. So basically, they're living in the prison and nothing fucking happens. They're battling this swine flu for six episodes, and then episode six and seven.
Banish Carol.
Six is 100% the governor. Oh, right. They did banish Carol because a couple people got
sick. Rick fucking banished Carol.
Right. A couple people got sick. Carol was trying to protect everybody, killed those people, and then she confessed to Rick. And Rick says, basically, you're a loose cannon. We can't have you here.
Which was dumb.
Right?
I the whole time when he's sort of like...
I think he banished her mostly because he didn't want to have Tyrese kill her.
But see, he didn't have to tell Tyrese that it was Carol. That's the thing. And Carol even said, nobody has to know. And Rick said, I would know. So Rick,
he's just following his own moral compass.
Well, I want to say, but that's not his fucking job. That's not his job, but that's who he is.
Maybe it was a too many chiefs type of thing where he didn't want somebody else with...
questioning his authority.
Well, then imagine if somebody did find out and they find out that he knew and he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, so he's saving his own ass. That's the thing.
Right.
Like, to me, I think Rick believed he was acting in the best interest of the group, but I think that was one of the most selfish things Rick ever did.
Yeah, I 100%
because
agree.
Carol is one of the few people that thinks clearly there. And as weak as she was in the beginning season, she's really strong, and she's shit. She should be leading the group, not Rick.
Well, they needed to do at this point, it's moot, but... You know, they really needed to establish a, for lack of a better word, a hierarchy of power, because it's what they had was basically a patriarch, and then everybody else sort of, you know, did things around that person. They really needed to establish more of a, you know,
well, they
kind of
did have something like that. They had more of a democracy because everyone would kind of vote.
You're right.
Democracy has been so successful thus far. In all instances.
Thanks,
well,
Obama.
And the problem is that you have Rick as quote-unquote leader, And then Daryl as...
He's a reluctant leader, though. He doesn't... It doesn't seem like he even wants to be leader, no, but he just steps into the role.
He doesn't, and then he acts like a martyr the whole time that he's that he's wanting to, you know, do right. things. And he's like, well, I don't... For the crew, for my boy. It's like, get out of here. And did you guys...
Think his accent got worse
yes,
this season?
That's yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Dude, that accent was all over the fucking place.
Because when I found out he was, like, English, I was like... Oh wow, he does a really good American accent. And this season, I'm just like, what
the dude?
I thought the same thing when I watched Batman.
Really?
Why are you trying to get away? Where's my boy?
Dude, that accent was fucking.
To me, most of the acting took a dive in this season. Like Daryl, you know, I'm always gonna have a soft spot in my heart for Norman Reedus because of Boondock Saints.
Yeah, yeah.
And cigarette burns, but. The last two seasons, you know, his acting is just getting
I don't think bleh. It's his acting. I don't think it's his acting. I think it's more the writers, and they're not really...
Well, no.
They're
okay,
not giving him... Like, when he was in that episode with Beth, when they burned down that house...
Oh,
that
yeah, the emo love story episode.
Yeah, I think the writing in that was atrocious, and that he did as good as he could
so
with
bad.
What was written.
So
no.
Bad.
But
I don't
even,
think it was actually his acting. I think
even
it was
stuff
that
doesn't
terrible.
Seem cheesy like that. So that when they go to get the antibiotics and Stinky Bob gets the alcohol and he almost drops the bag into the zombies.
Stinky Bob.
And Daryl finds the booze in the bag and he gets all
pissed.
Yeah,
why does he get up in his face?
Because he wanted to kiss him. That's why, dude. He's like, oh, you're so hot right now, Bob. Like, I just can't handle it.
Like, I haven't seen that.
He was Eskimo kissing him the whole goddamn time.
Yeah, he was almost giving him butterfly kisses,
he
dude.
Was.
That.
Well, you know what? Daryl can be kind of a homosexual, maybe.
Well, he's
in real life, but that doesn't
he
mean
didn't
to
try to
translate
have sex
into yeah.
He,
well, but look,
he?
Look, let's talk about that episode because I think it's important that we talk about that episode in particular.
Yeah, it was like Warm Bodies, Walking Dead style.
I think that they weren't trying to establish a romantic connection between those two.
Really? Because it seemed like awkward.
Honestly, I don't think that's what they were going for. I feel like,
well
obviously,
they did a
that's
very
how
bad
it,
job.
That's how
of
it felt. That's how, when you were watching, you were like, "Ooh, this is a little bit gross." Because like,
to me, it felt
bit,
cringy.
But I will say this: I don't think that that's what that was initially intended to be. I thought, okay, this is a cool uncle with. Bear with me. Don't give me that face just yet. I'm just speculating. I think that what they were trying to do was to do an uncle-niece sort of feel. Because for them to have a romantic
like
relationship...
Like an incest kind of thing? Because I totally thought they were going to bone.
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone that
I
know
it was,
thought
I think
they
it
were
was
going
a misstep. I think I don't think that that's what they intended, but that's how it came across. Why would they reinforce the stereotype that Daryl is just a dumb hick? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's his bit. I don't think that's his thing anymore. So where they misstepped was not doing that scene properly, or those two
just
episodes.
That writing was just terrible.
It was awful.
Yeah, and
I
mean, to find out that, like, to me that just kind of killed Daryl when you just find out, oh no, I wasn't anybody. I was just a fucking loser walking around. It's like, okay, cool. You're still
but
a
we
fucking
knew that.
Loser.
Who was surprised by that?
Well, he wasn't in the comics, so he didn't have a backstory. So I was really kind of hoping he was something. Like, he wasn't a fucking biker ganger. Because why else would he wear those stupid fucking wings on his vest?
Because he.
And who wears a denim goddamn vest if they're
look,
not in
man.
Blue Oyster Cult?
Oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't have any places to shop in the fucking apocalypse.
Well, dude, really? Because there's just clothes everywhere. And Beth's sure looking neat and clean and nice clothes.
His outward persona, I think, has very a big, you know, has a lot to do with his wanting to be his older brother. That's Daryl's biggest downfall. Is that
if he was Merle, the show would be so much better. Because Merle was awesome.
You know, they just got it. You know who needs to act in this show?
Bruce Campbell?
No, dude. Beans.
Beans. They love. Should. They should introduce Beans as like some weird like
dude,
traveling wizard
needs,
that they find on the road.
No, he needs to be the leader of the of Terminus.
Oh, like he's just in his diaper and like he's just
like,
on
like,
the throne.
Like he's the king and they just like feed him all the fucking people.
Yeah. Okay, so Terminus. After the governor takes down the prison and the governor dies and Herschel dies, the entire group gets split up. And as far as I'm concerned, that was when the season actually took off. Because you don't have to deal with everyone's shit every episode. It's like, hey, cool, this is just Daryl and Beth.
I like how they dedicated each episode to a
certain
group.
This was this whole season. They definitely did like, okay, we're having a Rick episode, and now we're having two Governor episodes.
And I think that's what made it better.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, once they lost the prison, they all see these signs that say Terminus, those who arrive survive. And
which already is like, no.
For those of you that don't know, Terminus is what Atlanta or Georgia was originally called when it was founded, like back in the 1700s or 1800s or whatever. That is very true. So they're all trying to get to Terminus because Maggie and Glenn get separated and they each think, hey, maybe the other went to Terminus. And then half the other people think, okay, well, hey, it's a shot. It's a place to go rather than wandering. So they're all working to get to Terminus and eventually, with the exception of Beth, they all, and the little psycho girl, they all get to Terminus.
Yeah, and let's...
Wait, I have to bring up, what the fuck was up with her almost killing Judith, like having her fucking...
She's a goddamn psycho, dude.
Was that, like, that holy was, shit, is this how fucking Judith is
going? He means little... What the fuck was a little psycho girl's name?
Lizzie.
Okay, yeah, he means Lizzie, not like Carol or anybody killing Judith.
That was one of the first things where I was like, why would they establish her?
I think they wanted to show you right there that she's fucked up besides the rat killing. Like, she was going to kill Judith because she was fucking crying.
See, I saw it a little differently. I saw that almost as like her willingness to do what it took to survive.
But she wouldn't.
Well, because Tyrese.
No, but hear me out. So Lizzie had other points where she was telling, like, Tyrese, sometimes we have to kill them. I understand that. Sometimes we don't, you know? And then, excuse me.
Nice.
Right? And I just lost my train of thought. Oh, so she's like, sometimes we have to kill them, sometimes we don't. So she understands that there's a survival instinct intact here. And with Judith, it was her and her little sister and Judith by themselves, as Tyrese went to go investigate some noises, some walkers or whatever. And Judith was crying and the walkers were coming in. So I think she was trying to, excuse me, fuck. She was trying to suffocate. Some
fucking brains, man.
Yeah, those brains. Trying to suffocate Judith, or at least maybe not suffocate her, but cover her mouth. Like, shut up. You want to see a cop? Shut up.
It turned into trying to suffocate Judith.
Yeah, it wasn't just shut up. It was like, I'm going to fucking kill you, fucking bitch.
But then...
That's totally what it was.
So she went full Terra.
Ha! She went full retard.
She was full retard to begin with. If Robert Downey Jr. told us anything, man, is you never go full retard. So... So they all take little detours on their road to Terminus, and they all have their little ups and downs and little side stories, and... Eventually, they all get there.
Eventually, you say eventually, like, so it's miraculously. God, I was so irritated. Like, oh, really?
It's miraculous because it took so goddamn long.
Oh, really?
It took half a season. It was fine.
They're all going to turn. Okay, fuck.
Well, especially because none of those adults can fire a gun. I'm amazed that they've survived at all.
Never seen a fucking horror movie in your lives. Don't follow the train tracks to the sign. Come on.
Exactly. It's like saying, idiots. I'll be right back.
Well, yeah. In fact, you brought that up. When did I text you that the other day when I was like, can any of these fucks aim a goddamn gun? I was so pissed
only
off.
It seems like only the children.
Only the children.
Shoot.
And only when it's necessary.
Okay, hold on. So
good God.
Backtracking a little bit. When the governor actually like invaded the prison, there was like 5 minutes of stock footage of Maggie and Beth just crying and spraying like MacGruber. They just
like bullets aren't hard to find.
Right. They never had to reload, and it was just
no. Who never had to reload was Herschel in the fucking season two finale
with a shotgun, with a fucking two shot shotgun, dude.
Unlimited ammo.
Oh, really?
Fucking Wolfenstein God mode and shit.
At least he was like shooting people and he wasn't just crying and just spraying bullets everywhere. So, okay, they get to Terminus and we all had hopes for Terminus. I've never read the comics, but I know a big part of the comics, and I was really hoping that after four fucking seasons of dragging it out, we were gonna get some cannibals. And I do believe they are cannibals.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just dragging it out more, which is fucking nonsense.
Did he see the picture that I sent you?
He didn't, and that's what I want to talk about. So explain what you're talking about.
So basically, after the season finale, they're trying to tell a bunch of people, like, they don't want to give anything away from the fifth season. They might be cannibals, they might not. Who
knows?
They're
definitely cannibals.
It seems a little too obvious. Why do you say they're cannibals?
The fucking stacks of skulls and rib cages.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in this picture that AMC released, it was in a room. Michonne and Rick were in there with two walkers that were chained together, and there was entrails and bones on the floor, insinuating that they're feeding live people to the walkers.
Well, so then we just redo fucking, what's the town's name? The
governor's town?
Yeah, what the Woodbury?
Woodbury.
We're just gonna redo fucking Woodbury again? There's no way.
I am more inclined to believe that they are cannibals.
Well, and
even though it's widely different from how they are in the comics.
Well, and here's the thing too, is okay, so I saw the picture that you sent me, and there was some bones on the floor. But when they were running through, so they get to when they get to Terminus, they sneak in the back door, at least Rick and them do, because, you know, Rick's smart and they don't know who these people are. So eventually they bring him out into the courtyard or the welcome wagon,
which was brilliant. Wait, because
hold on. This picture that I'm looking at, is this supposedly season 5?
No, that's a picture that was cut from the final episode.
Well, then it's completely out of context.
I think you guys should put that picture as the...
We'll put that...
You guys should put it on the website.
We'll put that up, but that's, like, I mean, that's completely out of context, because if this is Terminus, there was no visible zombies anywhere in Terminus. But, so they take him out to the welcome wagon, where there's this woman that's apparently grilling 24/7, and she has big slabs of meat, and there was zero indication that there was any wildlife out there, which was your first kind of hint. And then,
well, there's wildlife out there.
So
I mean,
here's the thing. This is the clip I wanted to pull up to tell you. When they go out...
Oh, I thought you were actually pulling it up. You pointed at the fucking monitor.
Hey, we're professional podcasters. We're not that fancy, though.
Yeah. So they go out to where they're grilling it up, and one of the guys from Terminus says, hey, fix them a plate. And Rick starts to notice different items that some of his other group had, and he asked them, why do you take in survivors? And the way the guy phrases his response is very ambiguous, because he's like, when they're a part of us, we grow stronger.
Yeah.
And stuff. I can't remember the rest of it, but like the way he said it, it almost sounds like, Oh, we let them in, that's how we survive, things like that. It's like he's implying.
Implying and being subtle, you mean like a brick through a window?
Right, because he didn't come out and say we're fucking cannibals, but it's like, oh, when they become a part of us, we become stronger. And that could be taken either way.
They're
like the post-apocalyptic Catholics. When they join our group, our group becomes stronger. Or like those African people, when they eat and get the protein, we literally
he's literally saying that when I eat your muscle, I ingest it, I become stronger, and I get your nutrients from my body.
They get that from the cannibal tribes in Africa, and that do go to war with each other.
Bumblebee tuna.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
It's in the bone.
Baby bear bones.
That's why we do a podcast together, dude.
But yeah, I mean, like other cannibal tribes, they eat the rival tribes so they can get stronger. They believe that they get their powers and
so
all that bullshit.
They basically lay down all these clues without coming out and saying, yeah, we're fucking cannibals. And then when Rick realizes this is the gear that belonged to our crew, he goes Dirty Harry, he pulls a gun, and all the people from Terminus start shooting. And at first I was like, like George. At first these people like, can't fucking yeah, I was hit like, oh my God,
these guys are such terrible shots.
Well, no, and at this point, I knew what they were doing.
Right, well, because then you realize...
After the first time, like, I saw them miss a bunch of shots. It's like, these people are terrible. And then after, I was like, oh, shit, I see what they're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then during
because
that...
Because that's when you notice all the A's.
With the sparklers on the concrete, A's? By the way.
Okay, you know that the... Okay. What you know A's? The title irritating. Of the episode, right? The title of the last episode?
No.
Was called A.
Okay.
Okay, so every... If you go back and watch the episode, everywhere that they were going... Everywhere that they were going, everywhere that the people from Terminus were leading them to had an A imprinted on it. The room, the little fucking candlelight vigil had an really? A on it. The trailer that they were locked in had an A on it. Everything, everywhere that they were being led to had an A imprinted on it.
So you saw when they were being, when he says being led, they weren't being escorted. They were like shooting guns at them.
They were being trapped.
Yeah, it was like it was a maze.
Herded.
And
they were being herded.
Exactly, herded.
So then presumably.
But you saw the part where they ran past all the
skulls in like the courtyard.
That's like another kind of like, hey, they might be cannibals.
Winky,
but
winky.
It's like, I've been waiting 4 fucking seasons. Like, don't make me wait another 6
you months. Haven't, you, okay, bullshit. You haven't been waiting 4 seasons for cannibals because you just found out
on the
incident that there were cannibals.
No, I knew beforehand that there was cannibals.
Okay.
Yeah, Alia told me a long time ago there were cannibals, and that's the one thing I was waiting for, you know? I was like, let's bring on the cannibals, because they're a lot scarier than fucking slow zombies, like people who can think and plot
Although,
against you.
Although, this season, slow zombies were some scary motherfuckers. They ramped up. They ramped it up this season as far as the attacks go.
The attacks, yes, but I think it's just because the people wound up letting their guards
and
down.
And you know what? So I'm gonna
let the poo-poo flow, George.
Why the fuck? So
I'll let him be Matt for a couple minutes.
No.
this happens. I get him going.
There was a fucking scene where it was Michonne, Rick, and little shithead, and they were
the guy.
No, the kid.
Carl.
No. I'm
yeah, the guy. So
Coral.
They're going. Coral. Okay. So they're going to the fucking forest, and then Carl hears some dude screaming.
I don't know
whatever.
What the fucking point of that was.
Why the fuck couldn't they have been like, hey,
run away.
Come this way to us.
It's just like, no, we can't help him. Let him
dude,
die.
Yeah, there was a perfect opening for him to run away.
The opening for the camera to see him perfectly in our line of fucking sight.
Yeah. He couldn't look in that area and run.
The zombies were closing in from like 270 degrees.
It's like that scene in that fucking Mike Myers movie where he's going, stop! And there's like this fucking giant steamroller coming towards him, but he's like 100 yards away.
So we were trying to make this episode go 30, 40 minutes. We're almost at an hour, by the way. Yeah, but we're going to keep it going because who gives a shit? Because my anger is...
Yes! Yes! If you have hate in your heart, let it out.
Dude... That fucking scene. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's how I felt about both of the Daryl Beth episodes. Just my fucking brain is full of fuck right now.
Yeah,
my
brain is billions full of
billions and
fuck.
Billions of fuck. Because it really took a complete turn from the rest of the show. It's like, I understand it was trying to... maybe make Daryl seem a little more relatable, a little more personable. It was maybe trying to make Beth a little more independent, a little less vulnerable. But it was just done so poorly.
Terrible.
Fuck those episodes.
Like, I mean...
The problem was that it was 2 full episodes of those two. Like,
you know, the episode that was sick, though, was when fucking Rick loses his shit when they're trying to rape Carl. Yeah.
They were literally trying to rape Carl.
I could use rape and not have you guys edit that out.
They were trying to rape Carl.
When that guy goes,
I had to rewind that several times.
That was borderline baby rape.
To make sure I heard it.
When we get done with the girl, and then we move on to the boy.
He's like, we're going to beat Daryl to death, and then we're going to have the girl, and then the boy.
I could have sworn they said the
shoot you.
I could have sworn they said the boy first.
No, show him first. But I was like, oh, shit, right? And then you fucking hear the guy unbuckling his belt buckle.
Well, yeah, the fat friar tongue-looking motherfucker tried to just fall on Carl.
They had literally the fucking most disgusting dude try to rape Carl. It couldn't be one of the guys that was a little more clean cut. It had to be the fat, bald guy with the long Pirates of the Caribbean hair.
It could have been that guy from Human Centipede 2, and that would have made it so much more gross.
Dude, but what I don't understand is Carl was in there watching everything go down. He has a submachine gun right in front of him on the dash. He never thinks to grab it.
No, because Carl's a fucking idiot.
He's a pussy.
See, and that's the other thing, is it seemed like Rick was finally like, Carl, I guess, you know,
Coral,
you gotta,
you can find your own pudding. I guess you can do your shit now.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to eat that whole fucking tub of pudding. I'm like, damn you, Carl. That's like a 2 gallon jug.
Dude, where the fuck did you buy that?
Dude, yeah. That was like one of those when we were in elementary school. Those big tubs of pudding.
Oh yeah, the one they just slop on your pizza.
Yeah, where they have like this fucking giant Russian lady that can't speak English just plop the onto your on her plastic pizza.
Chicken patty on a bun day.
But he's like, Carl, you got a few whiskers on your peaches now. I think I can start. I think I can start teaching you how to be a man, Carl. You know, like
start with the teaching.
And he stopped babying Carl. And at first, he was just like, "Hey, I'm gonna teach you how to play Farmville. Like, let's come dig these crops." But then he was like teaching him about guns and how to do snare traps and everything. And I thought at least that was kind of cool. I think we're gonna see a lot of Carl coming of his own.
I honestly thought the Carl rape was gonna happen. It's like that was after Lizzie killed her sister.
Yeah.
I pretty much was like, oh,
it was the second to the last episode.
Yeah. I was like, oh, these fuckers, they don't give a shit anymore. They're going full George R. R. Martin.
I'm glad they were killing kids, man. Yeah. Like, I've been advocating killing children since we started this show.
Day one.
Because they're just scourge of society.
I know. I agree. Mike, I love you.
So they, they all get to fucking Terminus, and once again, nothing happens. They all get locked in a goddamn cargo container where Dexter's mom got murdered. And
and not only that, but we are presented with what has to be
the best finishing line ever.
The worst two lines to finish a show of all time. Just all time. Like, take every show you've ever watched, every season series finale, compress those into a black hole of shit, and you might get the amount of crap that these two lines were.
The ending of Dexter was pretty awful.
Well, but yeah.
The ending of Lost.
We don't even acknowledge the ending of Dexter. The last season.
It ended at season four.
This is a horror podcast, not a bitch podcast.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So, well then, why are we reviewing The Walking Dead? Because this isn't even horrifying anymore.
Gzanga!
This is just like fucking soap operas for dudes.
Does anybody have the final two lines on their phone?
Yeah, it was like, they're going to be upset, and then...
No, they're going to feel really stupid.
Oh, yeah, they're going to feel really stupid, and then fucking Seamus McGee...
Why?
Yeah, goes, why is that? And he goes, because they're screwing with the wrong people.
Oh,
but
my God.
That was awesome because it was exactly out of the comic. Well, except it's screwing like, was fucking. They're fucking with the wrong
people.
Okay,
so yeah, you're screwing
but
with the
right
wrong people.
But it's right out of the
people.
Comic. And
they
that,
all have guns and we're all locked in a container with no guns.
Hey, man,
but
fuck
they're
you guys,
screwing with the wrong
that
people.
That was like, fuck yeah, Rick is going to
oh,
do
you were,
some shit.
Oh, you were all in on that.
I was all in. I was like, fuck shit. Yeah, he's going to give Carl's ass to somebody and then go full retard on everyone and just fuck. He's going to go full apocalyptic Hulk
okay,
on everybody.
Speaking of full retard, what was with Rain Man with the super 80s mullet trying to get to Washington,
D.C.? We were talking about Bill Hicks. That guy
Dude,
was the,
Bill Hicks!
That
I
guy was
that.
The spitting image
Dude,
of Bill Hicks, man.
If Bill Hicks gained like 50 pounds and...
Have you seen Bill Hicks, right?
I don't even know who Bill
and
Hicks is.
Like, just like...
Look at this. We're Googling images of Bill Hicks,
Dude,
by
if,
the way.
If Bill Hicks gained 50 pounds and like burned his brain on acid... That would be this guy.
So, but I mean, the thing with this guy too is,
dude, tell me that's not this guy. Come on.
So the part where he destroys their,
they're saying like Bill Hicks looks like Eugene for everybody that's listening, and which he totally does.
The part where they destroy their military vehicle. Did you notice that he's not like he said it was like a lack of knowledge of submachine
of operating a fully automatic weapon?
Yeah, but he was seriously shooting like MacGruber. He was just like up and down and side to side. Like he was painting a fucking barn with an AK-47.
Okay, he doesn't know kick. He doesn't know what kickback is. He doesn't know what the recoil is.
He doesn't
never
know
fired
point
one.
And shoot, not there just was, like flail your arms about.
There was a kid that killed himself by shooting a submachine gun because he didn't know about recoil.
Well,
this guy is a
Darwinism at his finest.
Hey, there's Eugene from Walking Dead. And there's Bill Hicks. There's Eugene from Walking Dead.
I'm gonna say that
it looks like Bill Hicks with a little bit of Glenn Danzig.
I'm gonna go on record in on this podcast and say that I don't think Bill Hicks is dead. I think I'm gonna go with all the people that think Tupac and Elvis are still alive.
Shit. So Elvis, Tupac, and Bill Hicks are all
Still alive. They're all hanging out together.
I hope they're all talking shit about season 4 of The Walking Dead.
They're all talking shit about you. Because you're not projecting enough.
That's awesome. That means Tupac and Biggie know who I am. That's pretty awesome. Bill Hicks, take it or leave it.
You're a son of a
bitch. I never said Biggie was alive.
These things happen. So are we done poo-pooing all over this turn or what?
Well, what did you guys think of the claimed group?
The claimed group? The
claimed group.
The group that Daryl joins.
Oh.
Claimed,
oh,
claimed,
them.
Claimed.
Oh, fuck them.
The baby rapists.
I did kind of like that they that there was an incident with Rick and them earlier in the season, and Rick killed one of them and escaped, and then they caught up to him again.
Dude, that was fucking awesome when you find out.
That's
that it's
what
them.
I want from the sister show. Is I want like that claimed group. I want it to follow them, like not a bunch of like, hey, let's do good, but like a bunch of
show.
Yeah, like,
did I miss something?
Yeah. Okay, so you know that group that finds Daryl and then they take
him,
it's
claimed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Rick, Michonne, and
Coral
are they're in that big house, and Rick is like sleeping in the bed when Coral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was.
The people that come into
that
house.
That's that group. Who does he kill?
He kills the guy that's
in the
shitting.
Bathroom. Remember, he goes and hides in the bathroom. The guy's taking a shit,
he's
and they kind of look at each other.
How do they know
like,
it's him?
They saw him when he was running away.
Yeah, he ran out, and they saw him. Of course, they didn't pursue him, but. They've been chasing
really him. They recognized him,
dude. He's with the only black chick with dreads in the apocalypse.
That's true.
Fucking midnight or whenever the fuck when they saw him from
dude
the,
they track him.
Yeah, Daryl made
they're trackers.
Daryl made a comment that they'd spotted the guy that they were chasing and they've
been tracking him.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Uh-huh. I love how your eyes are twitching with anger.
That is so stupid.
I thought that was awesome. I thought, I was like, dude, that's a good tie-in.
What's awesome
I thought that was just a random crew that he just killed one guy in the bathroom and then just jacked their gun and left. But then when it ties in later that it's actually them,
oh,
that was fucking awesome.
God,
what's awesome is we have episodes where George is all on board and then I start poo-pooing and George realizes how stupid it actually is.
No, it's just dumb to think that they're gonna recognize Rick in the middle of the fucking night.
See, but okay,
having glanced him,
I maybe agree with Carlos. Maybe they didn't so much recognize Rick as Michonne.
Because they saw Michonne and Carl because they saw them running away.
How many black dreaded samurais are running around in the fucking
and asshole kids?
Yeah, Coral or little, little asshole kids.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm willing to let a lot of shit go, but that's stupid.
Carl is going to let a lot of shit go.
He didn't douche before that scene. What have happened? That shit was going to go down.
Then the way they get out of that was so fucking ridiculous. So Rick's on his knees with a gun to his head. Michonne's on her knees with a gun to his head. Carl is mounted by fucking Friar Tuck from Prince of Thieves.
No, dude, he looks like the guy from Game of Thrones, the fucking dog guy.
Oh, the Hound?
The Hound. He's mounted by the fat version of the Hound. What's up with that guy and going after kids?
Dude, right?
Hey.
But then, all of a sudden, like, Rick just summons his ultimate warrior, his inner ultimate warrior, rest in peace.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it seems like we gotta dedicate an episode every fucking other week.
Hey, this one goes out to the ultimate warrior.
Yeah, may you shake ropes in heaven, you psychotic fuck. Or in hell, wherever
your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Let Jesus fuck you.
Best line in a movie.
Fuck me.
Train of thought gone. Derailed.
It's a good thing we're at the end of the episode.
Oh yeah. So they're all there with guns to their heads and shit, and they can't do anything. And Rick goes, "Let him go," and he. It looks like he headbutt the guy in the dick, but the guy starts holding his face. So apparently,
yeah,
the guy
was
squat over.
No,
like,
the guy was like 120. Do you guys not watch the fucking show?
But what was it?
Do you guys not like watch the details?
Okay,
you're like, oh, he fucking headbutted him in the dick, and then he's grabbing his nose. You don't think the fucking producers see that shit?
I did, but here's the thing: is it's like if you're gonna have a gun pressed to somebody's head, why are you gonna be whispering sweet nothings in their fucking
ear? Because he's
trying
to fuck with his head.
No, that was absurd. They're just like, okay, well, we painted ourselves into a corner. How's Rick gonna get? I know he'll just fucking headbutt this dude, like back headbutt. And then Rick all of a sudden has like this flashbang ringing in his ears, and then he.
Well, it's the same ring that he had when that shot went off in the when he was in the tank in the first episode. And it's like going back to that where it's like something's clicking in his head where like it's like a survival type of thing.
No, see, what happened was somebody just watched MacGruber a bunch of times before they filmed this fucking.
That's the second time you've referenced.
No, that's
MacGruber.
Actually the third or fourth. Because if you see the way they're shooting the guns and then the throat ripping, like I mean, he ate the dude's throat, but. Still, like, MacGruber ripped throats left and right, dude.
Okay.
Real American hero. MacGruber!
Rest in peace, Ultimate Warrior.
Let's have 10 seconds of silence for Matt's humor.
Let's just have a bunch of silence and end this goddamn episode.
No, okay. So, let's do a quick wrap-up. Overall, the whole season, what did you think, Matt Smith?
Overall... First half, incredibly boring. Second half, pretty entertaining with each individual episode as an over arc. They fail to drive storylines, and that's just really boring to me all the time. I keep feeling like nothing fucking happens. Even though there's cool stuff. There's a bunch of awesome zombie encounters. There's a bunch of cool battle scenes. But ultimately, okay. I feel like you're going to have to do something with the story if you want to keep people tuning in. And I have high hopes for the companion episode. I'm hoping that they do like in Vegas or something, you know? Like if they did it in Vegas, look at how cool.
A little Fallout action?
Well, not even Fallout. I was going to say Dead Rising 2. Because, I mean, there's thrift shop, or not thrift shops, but all kinds of little souvenir shops and touristy stuff all over Vegas. You can have tons of food and tons of cool stuff and build weapons together. All
like. Right, that's enough out of you. Carlos, season, how do you feel about it?
I'm with Matt. In terms of the first half was not very intriguing. It's like they just dragged out the whole governor scenario for another half season.
Right, when they should have ended
it. They should have ended it. He should have been dead by the end of the third season. But I think that this is the best season that we've seen since season one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give it a 7.5.
Mm.
It's the,
you all right over there?
The second cliffhanger of the series. And I thought the cliffhanger was good. This one really did leave people wanting
season
5 already.
Isn't every half season a cliffhanger?
No.
I don't think the mid-season was very really.
It was very anticlimactic. This one was.
They all got separated. Like their home is gone. They're not with their group together anymore. That's not a cliffhanger. It's
no,
like,
we knew they were going to rejoin.
Yeah.
Come on. It's
not really a cliffhanger.
But then how is this even a cliffhanger? Because we know they're going to escape.
It makes you wanting to see the next one very. I mean, it amps you up for the next season.
See, me, I disagree.
You can't amp you up for anything.
Well,
you don't project yourself.
I just know that they're going to get out. Like, if you're
going to have a cliffhanger like this, they do have that stashed bag of weapons.
Right.
So,
but they have, okay, so they still have to get out of this storage container. At least one of them, which is going to probably have to be Rick, is going to have to get outside.
No. This is how it's going to go down.
It's going to be Coral.
This is how it's going to go down. They're all in there. Beth is going to accidentally trip over the bag that he buried.
Beth ain't even
there. Come in with all the fucking guns and just shoot up all the place.
That's right, because we don't know where Beth is.
We didn't even mention Beth got kidnapped. And there's a group in the comics. I don't remember what they're called, but it's like a former preacher who's trying to atone for all the sins that he's committed since the zombie apocalypse. And he's supposedly like a really fucked up dude. And I guess a lot of people thought that once the governor died, he was going to be the one that steps in because their storyline runs, at least
the saviors?
In the comics. Yes, the saviors. Thank you. Their storyline in the comics runs all the way through.
Dude, that's going to be fucking insane when those guys come in.
But see, there's a lot of talk that they're probably not going to come in until the very end of season 5 or the beginning of season 6.
Well, yeah,
that's
in a completely different
but
area.
That's who I'm thinking has Beth.
And someone big dies in that. one of the main characters dies a fucking brutal death.
I hope
death.
It's Rick, because who else besides...
It's a brutal death.
Well, who else besides Rick and Carl is a big character that's still...
I won't say, but it's brutal.
Daryl's not in the comic.
He's not in the comic.
Is the only issue with that. I mean, at this point, I would be happy with anybody dying.
Right.
Especially Rick. It needs to happen, dude. We need to go full on Sean Bean and kill Rick.
You know, and his
you taste the brain in this as it gets warmer.
Oh yeah, let's get a little bit of that warmed up.
Let's.
Well, but another person like. Is as fun as Maggie is to look at, like when she went full fucking heavy metal Maggie. And became like just this super badass, I'm like, yeah, I lost interest. Like I liked you a lot better when you were kind of like your sister, you know, where you weren't super strong, where you were vulnerable, where you were relatable as a person, you know
like, washing dishes,
chained to the stove, yeah. Like, no, she all of a sudden became Andrea.
Why isn't she pregnant already?
Well, I fucking hated Andrea.
Yeah,
you know,
she's still alive in the comics at this point.
Right, but I was so glad they killed her in the show because she was just
Oh, me
obnoxious.
Too. I fucking hated her fucking duck lips, her fucking shitty-ass fucking face.
She was the best kill.
Fucking hated her.
Face.
I hated her fucking face and her fucking selfie duck lips.
Man, all I'm seeing is Bill Hicks staring at me. So we gotta end
that's,
this
that's
shit.
Eugene.
That's Eugene, Bill Hicks, man. Eugene that's Hicks. Bill Hicks.
That's Glenn Danzig Hicks right there. I'm telling you, that scowl, that's a Danzig scowl right there. And that mullet, that's a, if you pull it to the front, I'm pretty sure that's a devil lock.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I just feel like that picture is going to talk about the JFK assassination.
Yeah, totally.
Ready
to flush this turd?
Dude, I've been ready to flush this turd. I flushed this turd at the end of the season.
Okay.
So,
Well, Walking Dead, as far as 2/3 of this podcast go, you've got some work to do, hombre.
Yeah. And rather than working on a sister show, why don't you work on making your main or your flagship show actually good?
You have more work to do than this beer has.
Ew.
Ayo.
So, anywho, a quick who goes there note. We are in the works of having and inviting on some news and review writers onto the show. We've got some good prospects. We will be having more and more content on our website as time goes on. With any luck, in the next couple days, we will have new reviews not done by Matt or I because we are boring as fuck.
Right. And thank you all for your continued support, and thank you to Dock Street Brewing for sending us this awesome goat brain beer. And we have a lot of really cool things coming up this year, yeah. So we appreciate the support and continue to stick with us.
And we're coming up on our year anniversary, right?
Coming up in June, and we'll probably do something special for that. We're also coming up on episode 25, which should be around the 1 year mark. And
nice. Maybe we let's.
Maybe if those dudes from the battery will stop ignoring me, we can get them back on the show.
Well, you've pestered them enough. And never. We can actually say what our next episode is
going to
be.
We can. We are going to have our first. Well, not first, because Danny Amigo the Devil was our first, but our first non-back-to-back episode return guest, Mr. Chad Crawford Kinkle, director of Jugface, who was on episode 6.
So fun, man. Well, I can't wait. We had such a good time with Chad last Comic-Con.
He's the reason we braved Comic-Con traffic.
Yeah. That was actually the episode that sort of solidified me wanting to do this podcast, like,
because he was the first like celebrity that was willing to come to your house. He's like, these guys might lock me in a cage, but
I really appreciate Chad, and you know, he had a good time. Hopefully,
he had a great movie. He obviously had a good time because he's coming back. Yeah.
We're actually going to be recording tomorrow.
Yeah, in about 17 hours.
Woo! We so, get to do this all over again.
Yeah, thank you to Chad, too. And even though we said we'd never have him back on the show, thank
Did
you
we
to,
say that?
Thank you to Carlos.
Oh. I thought we were talking about Chad for a second.
No. Well, thank you for having me back on.
I know, it was fun.
Thank you for at least reining it in a bit.
In case you guys haven't, check out our last couple of few episodes where we had Lauren Ashley Carter from Jugface and The Woman and other such amazing things. And previous to that, David Stevie.
Writer and producer of Behind the Mask, one of my personal favorite movies of the last 10 years.
And the episode previous to that where we had Edmund of Super Meat Boy fame. We appreciate all the listens and all of the likes on the face, Twitter, spaces, whatever.
And dude, if you want to enjoy this more, check out episode 11, The Incident.
The debacle.
You'll get the beans reference.
And with and without blowing our load too early, just check in because we have some really awesome guests lined up and we have some really great things coming this year, including the Fantastic Horror Film Fest that we are the official podcast of. We will be broadcasting.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. We will be broadcasting from the red carpet as well. Ooh. As the after party. We'll be doing a lot of cool shit. So
yeah,
here's to that. Keep looking forward.
Well, everybody, for episode 20.5 or 21, however you're counting, this is Jorge.
This is Matt.
And Carlos.
Signing Warm off babies for Bioma. You guys. I'm going to bring it back. And who goes there to you?
Oh. You're lucky this is your house. I'd kick you out right now.
You gotta leave that in there.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.